and welcome to the season finale episode of Us Unfiltered. I am your host, Adrienne Salina, and today's topic is the Q&A session. I have asked all my listeners over various social media platforms to please send in questions to me that they may want me to answer on this show. So I did get a small handful of questions. Some of them were a little bit more personal, so I'm not going to answer the personal questions here on the show today. I did respond to those people privately, but I am going to answer the questions that I felt like were a little bit more appropriate for a public audience and are applicable to the majority of us as people. So I'm really excited about this episode. I'm so excited that I got through season one. This has been such a learning experience for me. You guys, I am not a professional at podcasts or any kind of like radio type on-air stuff. I am a marketing professional, so I do have a lot of experience in that type of communication, but this has been my first time doing this, and it's been a lot of work in progress, a lot of learning, and I've really enjoyed it. I feel like I've been able to connect with people through this show, and I'm really looking forward to season two. I'm going to be through with all of my mental wellness and physical wellness training by then, so I'll have so much more richer content to provide to this show, and I already have some great guests lined up that are going to be joining us in the second season, and I think the content's going to be even more impactful, and I'm going to be able to launch my business for anybody who needs a coach for their mental wellness. All right, so I'm not going to be sharing the names of the people who reached out to me. Most of these questions came in as direct messages to me on TikTok, Instagram, and one on LinkedIn. Just for privacy purposes, I'm not going to be sharing anyone's names, but I am going to be sharing the question and then kind of giving some background details about my thoughts about it and then some actual strategies on it. Question number one. Sorry, I'm looking over here because I have a screen that I'm looking at. Hey, Adrienne, love the show. I am asking about managing anxiety in social situations, specifically trying to manage social anxiety when I'm in work environments. I feel like sometimes when I'm in large groups at work, I get really anxious and I don't know how to overcome my nervousness, and it affects how I communicate. Do you have any advice? This is a big one, right? I feel like a lot of us really struggle with social anxiety, and I think it's gotten even worse since COVID because, I mean, let's be realistic. We were all kind of like, you know, trapped at home for months, some of us even years. And I think all of us just as a culture have really struggled since the pandemic. It was almost like we're having to relearn our social skills. And I also think that if you really think about it, a lot has happened globally in the last 4 years. If you really think back from like January 2020 to, you know, December of 2024, a lot has happened in this time. Like we've had riots, we've had wars going on, we've had, you know, a massive political election. There's been a lot that has changed politically and, you know, economically within the United States. There's been a lot of school shootings. There's been, you know, the pandemic, and that took a massive toll on us as a world, as a planet Earth. A lot has really changed in a very small amount of time. And I think just with all of the chaos that has happened in the world, I think all of us are feeling a little anxious and nervous, if I'm being totally frank. And I know that's not exactly the same as like social anxiety, but I just want to call that to attention because it's normal for you to feel overwhelmed with the climate of the world right now. There's a lot going on. And I think even just having to be in social settings, it kind of like reminds us of the chaos that is going on in the world because it's typically a topic of discussion in social environments. There's, you know, talk of politics and what's going on in the news. And so it's just like kind of constantly brought back up. But that's just a sidebar. Specifically dealing with social anxiety within the workplace. So first I want to say that some of this is just personality type. If you are not an extrovert and you tend to be an introverted person, any type of environment that is going to kind of push the envelope of your introversion is going to be a little uncomfortable. There are coping strategies that you can do. There are mechanisms that you can try to help make you more comfortable in those environments, but it's not always going to be comfortable because it's just not who you are. It's not your personality type. Now, if the introversion is not the issue and it's just simply being in large crowds or just feeling very nervous when you're in large crowds, there's two things that I think you can do to help you, especially when you're in a work environment. Number one is challenging your negative thoughts. I do have a whole episode on this, but something that you can do to challenge negative thoughts is asking, what's the worst that can happen? I think a lot of times we allow our brains to like run away with these thoughts that are probably not even realistic. You know, we start thinking about all of these things that could potentially happen, and most of the time they're very unlikely. So, you know, asking yourself, what's the worst that can happen, and giving realistic answers is going to help challenge those thoughts that might, you know, run away with you, causing you more nervousness and anxiety. The second thing that you can really do is focus on your breathing. So just doing some internal kind of gut check and breathing exercises, you know, quietly to yourself, breathing in slowly for 4 seconds, holding it for 4 seconds, and releasing in 4 seconds. Those are breathing techniques that you can do that not only just help, you know, keep you present and in the moment, but it is going to help calm your nervous system. And when your nervous system is more calmed, you're going to feel less anxious and your stress levels chemically are going to go down. So those are two things that you can realistically do to really help mitigate the stress of being in social environments. Specifically being in a work environment, I think something that is helpful is trying to focus on the task at hand. So if it's just like a meet and greet, you know, just really try to focus on light, pleasant, small talk conversations. Now, if it's like an actual work meeting and there's a lot of people there, focus on the work. I think just trying to like stay focused on one task at a time is going to help mitigate some of the overwhelmed feelings that you may be having from trying to like navigate a large social circle at one time. Question number two. Okay, this user reached out. I love this question because I feel like I'm kind of getting put on the spot a little bit. And if you knew what I was like every night, you probably wouldn't be asking me this. But you've mentioned before that you've struggled with insomnia in the past. Do you still struggle with sleep? If you do, what are practical ways that you have helped get better sleep or at least maintain a sleep schedule? So, okay, I have talked about this a little bit in the past. I did struggle with insomnia for years. In fact, the years between like my early 20s to my mid 20s, I struggled heavily with sleep. The reason why I say you probably wouldn't be asking me this question is because my sleep schedule lately has not been very good. I used to be on a very good sleep routine that really helped me with my sleep cycle and helped mitigate insomnia. However, lately, I have not been doing as well. So I'm going to give you the tips that I know have worked for me. And there are also tips that I probably need to reapply myself because I have not been doing a good job of it. Number one, and this is like one of the easiest things that you can do, is keep your room cold. So when you're going to bed at night, your brain is going to kind of start slowing down, and so is your body if the temperature is lower. So when I like to go to bed, I turn my AC down to 67 degrees, and that is going to help slow my heart rate because as the room's getting colder, my body's getting colder. My heart rate is slowing down. It's easier for your brain neurologically to fall asleep with this type of response. I don't understand all the science behind it. I'm sure there's lots of people out there who can, but it's just proven that keeping your room colder will help you sleep, not only fall asleep better, but help you stay asleep. So that's a number one that I highly recommend, keeping your room colder. And if you don't like being cold, you can always just add more blankets. But keeping the actual temperature of the room cold will really help. Number two is really sticking to a set time every night that you go to sleep. Your body is going to get into a rhythm And the more you stick to that, especially if you've been keeping it up for a couple of months, your brain is going to naturally start associating specific times with shutdown time. I have been really failing at this lately, mostly just because I've been honestly kind of stressed out and I've had a lot going on. So I've been up either like working on things or trying to, you know, finish tasks, or I've just been up thinking about my tasks. So I have not been doing as well about sticking to an actual schedule. But in the past, when I've done that, it really did work and it helped me stick to a cycle almost. Like my brain just naturally knew like, okay, it's 10 o'clock, it's night-night. Number three, and this is probably the most important out of all of these, and it's something that we all of us struggle with, and it's avoiding screens. And this means all the screens, not just your phone. I mean tablet, laptop, TV, all of the screens, turn them off. And the reason for that is even if you're turning off the blue light function of your phone and you're just using the orange light and you think like, oh, okay, well, I'm not getting blue light, so my brain's not getting stimulated. That's not true. Your brain is still getting stimulated with screens. And that stimulation is it's not helpful for your brain to start slowing down and going into a sleep cycle. So what I personally like to do in my night routine, and I'm actually pretty good about this on a nightly basis, is I do try to turn my screen off at a certain time, and I pray or do some sort of meditation, and then I read. Reading really helps my brain kind of just naturally slow down. I'm not looking at anything that's stimulating my brain. I'm just, you know, kind of leisurely reading, and then when I'm really starting to feel very tired, I'll close my book, turn off my light, and go to bed. The last thing I will give you advice on for a sleep schedule is keep your room dark. Like, when I turn off the light in my room, it is like a black hole. There's no light. Nothing. There's no light at all in my room. I have blackout curtains. You know how like some TVs have like a little red light? Like, none of that. I don't have any of those types of lights being shown at all in my room, because one, I don't like light at all in my room, but it does help the brain understand this is sleep time, and now your brain is able to kind of start that cycle. So keep the room cold, avoid your screens, keep the room dark when you're ready to go to bed, and stick to a specific time every night, and then try to wake up at the same time every day, even on the weekends. I know that's hard, and I'm not doing a very good job of it myself lately, but it does work. I know that it does because I did it for like 4 or 5 years and it really helped me. Okay, question number three. How do you manage a work-life balance? I'm a mother of two and I work for a Fortune 500 company. I love my job, but I also love my kids. I feel like sometimes I just don't have enough time for myself and I feel so drained. It's frustrating because even at times when I'm with my family, I'm still thinking about work. Do you have any good strategies to help manage appropriate work-life balance and making sure I'm still taking time for myself? Okay, I'm really glad that this person asked this question because I feel like this is something a lot of us struggle with. And I'm going to be honest, I don't know if I can give you personal advice that I know will work, simply because I'm not a parent. That's just a choice that I've made. However, I do know a lot of tips and tricks and strategies just based off research, and also just watching my friends and family members who do have, you know, these massive corporate jobs and still have a family and have effectively done both. There's really like four pieces of advice here that I'm going to give, but this is one of those things where it's not copy paste. You're going to have to kind of figure out what works for you because it's your work life, you know, your profession, your family, your self-care. It's all going to be very, very personalized to you, and what works for one person might not work for another. So take all of this advice, and I'm about to give with a very small grain of salt, and try to like decipher out of that how you can make that applicable for yourself. Number one is figuring out your priorities. Determining like what's most important for your professional life and then what's most important for your personal life is going to help you identify the priorities. And then the other things, some of those things can fall by the wayside, or they're just not as pivotal or time specific as those priorities are. Now, once you've identified the priorities, you might need to delegate some tasks for the other things that you cannot manage. So if you are married or you have a significant other, share responsibilities. If you do not have a significant other, maybe reach out to family members or friends who can help with tasks that in your personal life you may not be able to get to, whether it's picking up your kids after school one day because you have a meeting, or maybe it's having your spouse do the dishes and laundry during the week because you have to focus on X, Y, and Z. You know, obviously, you're going to have to decipher what those tasks are and see how you can, you know, delegate out the things that you simply cannot manage, because you want to prevent burnout. And if you have to hire help and you have the means to do so, just do it. Sometimes it's better to just spend the money so you're not having to like spend all your energy. The third thing here is setting appropriate boundaries. You're going to have to really hone in on that work time and that personal time. So work is work hours. And when those work hours are done, that's it for the day. Don't open that laptop again. Don't check your emails on your phone. Really start dedicating your work time to only your work time and your family time to only your family time, and try to protect them from each other. Now, once you have that scheduled work time and that personal time, start planning. So this is something, even though I don't have children, I do a lot. Like, I have a lot going on outside my normal work schedule. Like, I have all this training that I'm doing. I do this podcast. I have a social life. I sometimes volunteer, or I go to church, you know. So I have a lot going on outside of just my general work schedule. So I plan everything. And this is really, really, really helpful. If you are struggling with a work-life balance, start planning ahead. And I mean scheduling everything. Get a daily planner and start scheduling out your week. And that means the stuff with your work. That means chores that you want to accomplish during the week. That means social activities that you want to do with your friends or family members. That means things that you want to do with your kids. And then also schedule your self-care time. By having a schedule for this type of stuff, it's going to help you make sure that you are getting the priorities done, like we talked about, identifying the priorities, but also making sure that you are making time for yourself. And that self-care, it's so important when you're really, you're juggling a lot, especially you moms out there and just parents in general, not just moms, parents in general. You guys are doing a lot. Like, it's okay to feel overwhelmed and stressed out, but help yourself by making sure that you're prioritizing your own personal self-care. Because if you're burned out and you don't have anything else to give, your children are going to feel that. So prioritize yourself. I know it's hard when you have children and you want to make them the priority all of the time, but sometimes you're going to have to say, you know what, I really need this me time today, and I'm going to schedule out, you know, 1 hour for myself to read a book or take a hot bath, or maybe start working in physical activity into your schedule 4 days a week, whether it's a short walk or a quick run, whatever it is that's going to work for you. Make sure you're putting that time into your own schedule, because it's not only going to positively affect you, it's going to positively affect those around you, including your work. And then the fourth thing was self-care. So self-care can look like a lot of different things. I have a whole episode about this, but, you know, it could be making appropriate time for physical activity or eating healthy or meditation, whatever is going to work for you, but make some time for that. Schedule those things out so that way you're accomplishing the chores, you're accomplishing the work priorities, you're making time for family and social, but you're also making time for yourself. All right, and the last question I received from a listener was, how do you maintain your mental well-being when you're going through tough times like depression and anxiety? I know you've talked about dealing with anxiety in the past, but how do you keep yourself motivated? So I've thought about this question a lot over the last couple of days, and I've honestly kind of struggled like how to appropriately answer this. I did respond back to this person individually, by the way. I didn't just like ghost them, with some ways that I help myself, but even after I answered their question, I've been thinking a lot about this because it is hard sometimes to keep myself motivated, especially when I'm going through a really, really challenging time. And if I'm being totally candid and frank with you guys, the last 3 to 4 weeks have been very, very hard for me emotionally. I'm really just going through a lot right now personally and trying to process some unresolved emotions about various different things that I will not get into. But because of that, and because of some stress that I'm dealing with just with work and other projects that I'm trying to complete, it's just been a lot. And I, you know, was talking to my therapist earlier this week and was just very frank with her and was like, listen, I'm depressed. Like, I'm kind of struggling. It's been a challenge for me every day this week just to like get up and go to work. So I say all that to say, I don't want to lie and make it seem like, oh, I've just got it all together. Like, here's what I do to maintain my well-being. Okay, because that would be absolute horse beep. And quite frankly, don't have all the answers. No one really does. But I can tell you what helps me when I feel like I'm really, you know, hanging on by a thread. And I can also tell you what I know to be true just based off of being in therapy for a long time. But kind of like the work-life balance thing, what works for me may not work for you. Before I even get into the answer here, I want to remind everyone that mental wellness is not a finish line. It's not a destination. It's not an end game, okay? We are all on our own individual journeys, and they all look different. There are going to be days where you feel better than other days, and that's totally normal. It is a constant state of process and hopefully progress. Number one is stick to the basics. If you are struggling specifically with depression and you're trying to just maintain some decent mental wellness through this particular tough time, stick to the basics. And what I mean by basics is do the things that you just have to do, the bare minimum to get by. Like, continue to get up and shower. Continue to brush your teeth every day. Continue to make your bed. Continue to get those smaller chores around the house done, like doing laundry or washing dishes. And the reason why I say that is if you can stick to the basics, it'll help prevent you from sinking down into a really deep hole. Because once you're into that deep depression hole, when you're not getting out of bed, you're not going to work, you're not, you know, contacting anyone, you're really self-isolating, it's even harder to get out of a hole like that because you've totally lost your sense of routine. And now you're trying to like regain your life again. So if you can just stick to those basics, it'll help keep you in a routine. The other reason why to stick to those basics, dopamine is released whenever we complete small tasks. So it basically like rewards us with a little happy boost when we've completed stuff. So that's also going to help kind of mitigate some of that depression, just making sure that you're getting through those tasks every day and giving yourself like a little, you know, high five. I got that done today. I made my bed today. I got up and took a shower today. Like, I may not be conquering the world right now, but I am getting through, and that feeling feels good. It gives you that dopamine release, and it helps. The other thing that I can say that really helps me when I'm really struggling with my mental wellness, especially if I feel like I'm going into a season that is very challenging, is staying connected to people who care about you. And this one's so hard, I think, for all of us. I know for me especially, I have a bad habit of isolating myself when I'm depressed. I tend to not reach out. I, you know, kind of cancel plans on people. Luckily, I've been friends with my friends for long enough that they know these things about me and they'll pester me. But I'll get kind of flaky. And it's only because I'm just really tired and I don't feel like explaining my mental state to people, like what I'm going through. But when I am honest with people and tell them what I'm going through, normally they're there to support me and at least like let me talk, and that helps getting it off my chest. It lets me know that I'm supported. But 9 times out of 10, if I can just get myself out the door and go and do something with these people who I know care about me, I'm getting that oxytocin release. I'm getting those happy hormones. And generally, I feel better because I feel connected to people who love me. And I'm starting to remind myself I'm not alone. Those are two things that really help me when I'm really struggling with my mental wellness. And then the last thing, and, you know, this goes back to the whole like personalized self-care thing, but the last thing that helps me is prayer. So I do have my own set of religious beliefs. I do believe in prayer and meditation. I practice them pretty regularly, but praying for me just helps me feel like I'm releasing some of that anxiety. I'm allowing my brain to process it. I'm hearing myself say the words out loud. And in a way, I feel comforted on like a spiritual and mental level. But if you are not a spiritual or religious person, prayer may not be the right path for you. So that's the reason why I say, you know, self-care practices, they're very personalized. You have to figure out what works for you. So if prayer is not something that you would participate in, I would recommend something like yoga or some sort of breathing or meditation exercise, because those do help calm the central nervous system like we've talked about before. But it's also just like a good distraction for your brain. It gets your brain off of the depressive topics that you're already kind of circulating. It refocuses it on something else. And I think a lot of times that's very key. When we're in a depressive state, it's very easy to get sucked in and hyper focus on the things that are causing us pain, because it's at the forefront of our mind. It's like literally what is, you know, causing us to struggle. It's very easy to get fixated on it. So finding things like hobbies or yoga or physical activity, anything that's going to help refocus your brain from the negative and the pain into something a little bit more positive, or just give you a more healthy output, is going to help mitigate some of that weight that you're feeling. So, again, you know, I try to be cautious when it comes to answering really tough questions like that, because I don't want you guys to think that, you know, I'm so perfect, I have it all together. That couldn't be farther from the truth. You know, my life is not, believe me, my life is not perfect. I'm still figuring this crap out every single day. My therapist would attest to that. She sees me on the real. But my whole goal with this podcast, and especially with this first season, is to, one, make meaningful connections to people and remind people you are not alone. I'm also going through this stuff with you. And two, there are so many ways that you can help support yourself without having to spend money. And that's the point of this podcast, is, you know, to help you get connected to resources or even just find tips and tricks that will help you cope for free. Anyways, those are the questions that I've got asked. I hope that the answers to all of those may help someone out there. As I wrap up for today, I just want to say thank you to everyone who has been so supportive to me for the launch of Us Unfiltered. This podcast has meant so much more to me than you guys could ever realize. This has been something that I have dreamt about for a really long time, and I actually did it. Like, it's not perfect, it's not huge, it's not blown up, but I did complete something that I set my mind to. And that alone has just felt so good. And I've been so thankful for everyone who's been so supportive of me. I've had so many friends, coworkers, family members, and listeners reach out to me to tell me that they're proud of me, or that I've mentioned something that's helped them, or they've been able to find a coping strategy that's worked for them through this podcast. So those types of things, they really mean a lot to me. So I just wanted to wrap up this season by saying thank you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support. I appreciate you tuning in to the season finale of Us Unfiltered, the Q&A session. Please stay on the lookout for the launch of season 2. That will be coming in 2025. Probably mid to late January is when I'm going to be kicking off season 2. I'll have some announcements going on socials, so please start following me on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with a friend or a family member who may benefit from it, or leave a comment or a review. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, and until 2025, take care of yourself. Remember to prioritize yourself and your needs this holiday season. Don't burn yourself out. Don't overextend yourself. Continue to be kind to yourself. Until I see you in the new year, remember, mental health matters, and so do you.